Well, as we finish up the last message in the Maidens, Moms, and Matriarchs series, I've been looking forward to this particular message as we talk about the femininity of God. Now, when I say God, who is God? That's really, maybe in some ways, someone might say, well, that's a really simple question. You know, who's God? I can tell you who God is. But there is a lot of confusion or a lot of different ideas on who God is. You know, is God, you know, the traditional old man, you know, with a beard, you know, the wise old God? Some people say, you know, I think God, if I was to picture God, God looks like a man. In fact, maybe you have the image of Jesus, you know, when you think of God. Some people say, you know, my God is, that I think of is more of a superhero kind of God, you know, that, you know, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, or, you know, whatever superhero kind of attributes you might give him. Seems like a lot of people think of God as having no form, but showing up in form as he maybe desires or as his needs are to interact with us, but that God is a formless kind of a God. Some of you say, well, I grown up in the 90s, so God obviously is Morgan Freeman. If you've seen any of the Bruce Almighty's or the Evan Almighty's great group of movies, I think, that have depicted some ways that God interacts with us, and Morgan Freeman, of course, plays God in all of those, so we get a little used to his image. Today, I'm just going to be straightforward with you. I don't have the answer on who God is, at least not in this context that we're talking about here. But I do know one thing. For sure, that in the scriptures, God refers to himself as our Father. Okay, so God, I know, is our Father. He's not our Father because of masculine dominance over the centuries. And so since men have always been in power and men have been in control, that's why God is Father. God is Father because he called himself Father. Regardless of us as a population or as a culture at any given time, we didn't put any masculine or feminine traits to God. God himself said that he is Father. In fact, because he calls himself Father, throughout the scripture, we use male pronouns to describe who he is. We use he when we're talking about God because of his claim to be our Father. God is not our mother. He could have been our mother. He could have said that he was our mother, but he didn't. He said he was our Father. Now, this can be a little confusing for some people, but this is how God has described himself. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, and you look for God our Father in the Old Testament, let's just do a show of hands. How many times do you think God is referred to as Father in the Old Testament? Who says over 100? You're not going to know this. So, I mean, just see what your gut says. More than 100 times? Let's say 50 to 99 times. 25 to, you know, 49 times. Most of you aren't answering, I can tell. Okay, so less than 25 times? I have no idea. Any of those? Okay. God refers to himself as Father in the breadth of the entire Old Testament 7 times. It should be more, right? Yeah, like I actually looked it up. 7 times he is referred to as Father. Now, Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, he says, what does he say to call God? Yeah, he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A kingdom come, they will, you know the thing. Our Father, that's how he says you are to address God as our Father. Jesus, I'm not even talking about other disciples or other writers of the scriptures. Jesus alone refers to God as Father over 150 times in the New Testament. Okay, 7 in the Old. Jesus alone, who is who? Son of God, and in the Trinity is God, refers to himself in that Trinitarian role of Father over 150 times. So you might say, well, you know what? I just like God to be mother. Yeah, that's great. But the biblical record is that God is our father. And now, there's a very specific reason why God calls himself a father, and that is an entire message all to itself. We're not focusing on that today, but I do want to tell you this. You don't have to understand that, because God said he's father. Whether you get it or not, why he called himself father, he still is father because he calls himself father. There is a reason why. To kind of simply break down, let me just kind of tease your mind a little bit. When you were a kid growing up, if you had a mom and a dad, you went to mom for some things and you went to dad for other things. Is that correct? And the reasons why you went to dad is going to be a key as to why God calls himself father. God is not our mother. He is our father. But in God, there is all of the qualities of men and women, all of the attributes of men and women. Because when God says that he's father, he is not saying that he's male. God is not male. God is not female. God is not gender. Okay, there is no gender in God. He created gender in his creation of humanity, and in that creation, he made us male and female, but God is not male or female. Though he identifies with us as father, which is a masculine trait, the traits of femininity also exist within God. To give you maybe a little teaser on what really could be an entire series on God as Father. For God to call us Father, we're so detached from this because we're so used to God being called Father. Think of gods in all other religions. This would be even including ancient religions of the time when God reveals himself as Father. God is always a distant relationship. It's a tyrant. It's a dictator. It's some kind of king kind of aspect. God says, I'm father, which regardless of whether you like father or mother, it immediately pulls it into an intimate relationship. Do you see that? So for God to say he's our father, that's a warm feeling that we connect with him in a relational aspect, not only relational, but as a family. Because you do something different for your kids than you do for other people's kids, right? Like when my kids come and ask me to open up my wallet and then just take what they want, well, that never happens. But I'm just saying that I'm more likely to help out my kid financially than I am your kid, okay? Like if I come to your graduation party, yeah, I'm going to throw a couple bucks in a card. That's all you get from me that year. My kids are getting a whole lot more from me because I relate with them differently. As God being our father, we then are his children, and there's a special relationship. So God saying he's our father, the reason why he says it is this intimate connection that we have with one another, with him. But I think there's some other things as well as we look at God being our father. He is not impersonal. A father's role has been protection of the family. He's a protector. He's also our creator. And these are images that are connected with fatherhood in this aspect. The father is where the family name is passed through. And so we are adopted. We are heirs. His name becomes our name. There's these images of father that are important as we grow up and throughout our culture over centuries, over multiple cultures. And so God calls himself father. But God is not man. And he's not only masculine. And as I said, he is not gender. He's the creator of gender. In the book of Genesis, it says that we are made in the image of God. His image is in us, and his image is reflected through us. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 says this. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So here we see that we were not created as the monkey or the llama, But we were created with something different, and it's the word that I've highlighted. And that is what? Image. We are the only part of all of God's creation that was created in His image. That has to be significant. That has to be important as we understand what image is. Humanity is the only portion of creation that is created in God's image. Now, if you look up the Hebrew writing here and you look up the word in Hebrew for image, it is salam. Salam is this image word in Hebrew, S-E-L-E-M. Its meaning, if you look at how it's used in other ways, because it's not just used in this one sentence by God, it means to cut from. So it doesn't mean to physically look like, but it's to cut from, to take from, to take essence from. You know, you might say from someone, you and I are cut from the same cloth. That is literally the image usage. So we've been cut from that cloth. We are in the image of God. Not in a physical, visual sense, but in a more of an essence kind of a sense in our creation and what we are like. God most likely, at least Jesus says that God is spirit. And to say that God is spirit is to say that God does not have form. When we picture God with two legs, that has a lot more to do with just our understanding of what intelligent beings might look like. But not, and also because that's the way God has revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ and other ways. But it doesn't mean that he has two legs, two feet. Our assumption of that is based more on our preference than fact. But to be made in God's image, in his salam, is to have his qualities, to carry his nature, and to carry on his purpose. That's the image of God. That's humanity and no other part of creation. It's to be like God. And in a good way of being like God, it's us being an extension of his love and serving others and taking the lead and making the world a better place. But sometimes in trying to be like God, we do that in a bad sense. We take the image of God that is within us and we do something negative with it. We try to be God by doing things our own way under our own power and our own ability. We make up our own rules as how we're going to interact with creation. In fact, I would make a global statement here and say that all evil is the attempt on our behalf to replace God with our own ideas, to become God. Remember the very first temptation with Adam and Eve, right? And the serpent's there. And what is the promise that he tells them if they'll eat this fruit? Basically, you're going to be like God. That was the temptation, to be like God. We have all, since then, all wanted to be like God. We want to be God of our own world. Atheism is a rejection of God in order to be God. Even in our Christian faith, right, we pick and choose what parts of God and Scripture and this whole system that we want to believe in and the other parts that we want to just say, well, so hands off in this area, God, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing here. I'm going to be my own God in this arena of my world and my life. Image is so much more and may not even include things like a physical look. It has more to do with the fabric and the essence of the original. Humanity was created in the image of God. All that wires us as humans is a part of God. Now, we usually, as we think about God, we put him in this image of maleness. But I want you to know that is completely incorrect to think of God as a male as we think of gender being male. Now, we usually put God in this role, I think, because we call him Father, and it's okay that we call him Father because he says he is our Father. And it's okay to think of him as masculine, but not as male. And if that seems like a nuance to you, if that seems like splitting hairs, it is not. Because there's a difference between male and masculinity, and there's a difference between female and femininity. Male and female are gender roles, masculine and femininity are the qualities of within those genders. Now, in our culture today, we cannot agree that there is any difference between masculinity and femininity. Some people say it's obvious. In my mind, it's super obvious. But in other arenas, it is so mixed up. We think that it's wrong for a boy to show masculine traits and that it's wrong for a girl to live out and show feminine traits. We want our girls to be more like boys, and we want our boys to be more like girls. We have this mix right now. But I think if you look at, you know, your growing up and you look at the way even the animal kingdom has been created in male and female kind of roles, that there is a masculine and feminine role that seems to be a part of our creation. Boys, for the most part, compete and beat each other up and, like to rough and tumble. And, God, everything's a competition with us guys. Not only a competition, but we have to wager on it on top of it all. There are winners and losers, and we beat our chest over that. And I know that's generalities. Like, you know, not all guys are that way. But guys are wired a certain way, and it doesn't have to do with our upbringing. It's been that way from the beginning. Women, on the other hand, in femininity, there are things, and I'm not talking about feminism, I'm talking about femininity, that there are ways that women interact in the world as moms and as wives and as friends with one another. You look at how guys work through a problem together as a group and how women work through a problem together as a group, it's wildly different. Women sit together and they have some kind of herbal something. They sit on a couch and they talk through it all. Gentlemen, have you ever been invited over to my house for herbal anything for my couch to talk about my issues? Good golly, no. We punch each other in the arms. They suck it up. I mean, we're there for each other, but it just looks different. There's a difference between maleness and female. There's men and women, there's gender, but then there's how we're created. And all those things that we say is masculine and feminine are inside the individual entity and person of God. And he delivered those to us in his creation, and he made them male and female. But they're all within God, and they're his image together. God is never afraid of being God and showing that he is both masculine and feminine. He does it throughout the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 12 through 13. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Now it gets to the femininity of God. Her children, who's the her? That's God. Her children will be nursed at her breast. Dads, you ever try that one? Carried in her arms and held on her lap. God says these words, I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Masculine or feminine? What is that? This is not a trick question. That's feminine. Those are feminine attributes of God. He's relating to himself as a mother who cares for her child, as a mother who breastfeeds her child. He says, that's how I'm going to be to you. I've never said that to my children. They come home, bad day at school. I want you to know, son, I care about you like when your mom would breastfeed you. It's weird. I'm not feminine. My kids would not respond well to that. But these are all the attributes of God. Isaiah 42, 14. He says, he will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself. But now, like a woman in labor, I will cry and groan in pain. God relates to his people. He suffers with them like a woman who goes through labor. I don't know what that's like. I've sat through three of them. I don't know what it's like. From my experience of those three, I'd say it's a difficult experience. God knows. He created it. And he can relate because all that is feminine is also within God. And so he can relate to his people and say, the suffering that I go through with you is much like a woman in labor. And he knows because he created what that is. Isaiah 46:3. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I cared for you before you were born. Jesus also describes God as a woman sweeping her house for lost coins. Jesus even spoke of himself as a man who came to earth in the form of a man with feminine quality when he lamented over Jerusalem. Look what he said in Matthew chapter 23. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." And this is also the scene in which Jesus weeps. Though God refers to himself as Father, I do not want you to miss the point that 100% of all that is woman is just as much a part of God's image. Now, if you'll allow me, I want to do something a little different today than I normally do. I want to show you a video clip. Normally, I'll show you like a 3-minute or a 5-minute even illustration. This one is a little bit longer. This one is done by a pastor named Rob Bell in a series that he called Pneuma, these Pneuma videos that he created. And in this one, he talks about the femininity of God. And I thought he did such a good job at explaining this that instead of me trying to recreate this, I just wanted you to experience this. So I'm sorry I don't have popcorn for you, but just sit back for a moment. It's about 12 or so minutes long. And take a listen to this. And there's some imagery here I don't want you to miss along the way, too. But take a look at this Pneuma called She.
Bike on this bike path that starts downtown and it makes its way out into the woods. And so one moment you can be riding in traffic, you know, in among office buildings, and the next moment you're out in the middle of nowhere, and it is beautiful. And there's just like a canopy of trees up above, and for a while there you ride beside a river and over a couple bridges. And at one point I come around this bend, and there are geese all over the bike path. And I'm assuming that as I ride up, they're going to scatter, but they don't. I mean, they just stay put on the bike trail. And so I slow down to the point where I actually have to stop. And I'm standing there, kind of with my bike by my side, and they're not moving. So I walk towards them thinking maybe I'll just kind of intimidate them into moving. And they're not going anywhere. Geese everywhere. And I have this kind of slow burn starts to kick in. Like, this is not right. And so I grab my bike and I head at them even faster, like kind of with more authority, that maybe I can just intimidate them into getting out of the way. And at that moment, I hear a sound that no human being should ever have to endure. One of the geese, the biggest one, starts to hiss. And if you've ever heard this hiss before, if you ever heard a geese or a goose or whatever, if you ever heard a goose hiss, it is a truly satanic noise. And the biggest one starts to hiss at me, and I realize at that moment that I am up against the mother. And so I back up and I kind of strengthen my resolve, and then I start walking as fast as I can right towards him. At this moment, the mother lowers her body down till she's like an inch off of the ground, and then she sticks her neck straight out like a bayonet. She lets out a hiss, I swear to you, straight from the pit of hell, and she attacks me. She charges after me. I literally have to use my bike to protect myself as I throw it over my shoulder and take off running down the trail the other way. It takes me like a while to collect myself. I mean, is there anything more humiliating than getting shut down by Mother Goose? And I realize later that I was up against more than just a goose. I was up against a universal truth that when it comes to her children, a mother is not messing around. And if she thinks you are a threat to her kids, you are in trouble. I remember being in this village in Africa, and the mothers get up at sunrise, and they take these jars, these empty buckets, and they walk miles. It takes them hours to the nearest water source. They fill up their jar, and then they walk the hours and hours back just so that their children will have water. And then they do it the next day, and they do it the next day, and they do it the next day. There is this maternal impulse, this ancient nurturing instinct, and it transcends time, it transcends culture, it transcends economics. There is an ancient mothering impulse, and it's also a divine impulse. Throughout the Bible, God is described as compassionate. In Hebrew, the original language of the scriptures, it's the word raham. It's also the word for womb. So God is compassionate. God is womb-like. I mean, this is a feminine image for God. Now, see, a lot of people are very comfortable with male imagery for God. You know, so God is the father, God is the warrior, God is the judge, God is the lawgiver. But feminine images for God? Or there's this great line in the book of Job. God is pointing out all of the complexity and creativity of creation, essentially saying to Job, what do you think made all this? And at one point, God asks Job, from whose womb came the ice? Who gave birth to the frost from the heavens? I mean, God's answer to Job is God. God's womb? God gave birth? Obviously, it's poetry here, so you can't take it too literally, but this is feminine imagery for God. Now, these images can be very helpful in describing the divine. But Jesus said that God is spirit, and spirit has no shape, it has no form, it has no physical essence. I mean, God is, in essence, beyond male and female, or perhaps you could say it more accurately, God transcends and yet includes what we know as male and female. Like how the Bible begins in this creation poem of Genesis 1, it says that God created them male and female. In the image of God, they were created. So a man is created in the image of God, a woman is created in the image of God. And this actually goes way beyond whether a woman is a mother or not, because some women are mothers, some women aren't. But there is a masculine dimension to God, and there is a feminine dimension to God. This is what was so revolutionary about the early Christian church. Women were witnesses to the resurrection, which was groundbreaking enough in its day. But then in this early church, when you had women leading, organizing, making decisions, it was women who supported Jesus in his teaching and his traveling. Women paid his bills. Like in the letter to the Galatians, one of the first Christians, a man named Paul, he wrote that in Christ, in this new reality of Christ, there is neither male nor female. A lot of scholars argue this is the first place in human history where somebody argued for the equality of the sexes. I mean, if you don't have her leadership, if you don't have her wisdom, her voice, her perspective, you're not just missing her, you're missing something central to the very core of who God is. If you're a woman and you've been made to feel second class in the Jesus movement, I mean, maybe you've been taught blatantly or you've picked it up subtly that it's, look, it's nice that you're here, but men do the real work around here. That is just not right. I'm sorry you've had that experience, because it's not what Jesus had in mind. Now, sometimes what happens is equality gets confused with difference, as if we're all the same. And what gets lost in the process is the uniqueness of each of us being who we were made to be. So you don't need to run from the differences. You can embrace them. I mean, some women are mothers, some aren't. Some run companies, some stay home. Some live out very traditional roles, others break all sorts of new ground. And it's all a reflection of the creativity, of the diversity, of the variety of the God who's bigger than any of our language. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to his people, and they're in exile. They're miles from home, and they've been crushed and broken and destroyed. They're wondering if they even have a tomorrow. And Isaiah says to them, he says, "This is what the Lord says. As a mother comforts a child, so will I comfort you." A couple of years ago, my friend got really sick, like life and death kind of sick. And I used to go and visit him. And every time I would visit him, his mother would be there. She'd be somewhere in the room. She'd be beside his bed. She was all over every detail of his recovery. And when Isaiah is speaking to his people who are wondering if they even have a future, they're disillusioned, they're filled with despair, they don't have any hope, of all the images Isaiah could use, Isaiah essentially says to them, "Have you ever seen a mother comfort a child? Well, that is what God is like, and that is what God is going to do for you." I mean, none of us had anything to do with our birth. We received without giving anything. We were totally helpless. And some woman somewhere, your mother, brought you into this world. Her labor, her work, her pain for your life. When you see a mother doing her mother thing, when a mother's heart breaks for her children, she is tapping in to the very nature of who God is and what God is like. And that is a gift. That is grace. That is divine. So may you embrace the God who's bigger than any of our language. May you celebrate all of the images and pictures and metaphors that help us better understand who God is and what God is like. And may you be comforted as a mother comforts a child.
Isaiah 42:14 talks about God as a woman in labor. Numbers chapter 11 talks about him as a mother nursing her children. Isaiah 49 talks about God as a mother who does not forget her child that she nurses. Isaiah 66 is a mother who comforts her children. Isaiah 46 is a mother who births and protects her children. Hosea chapter 11 is a mother who calls and teaches and holds and heals and feeds her young. Nehemiah 9 as a God, as a seamstress making clothes for her children to wear. In Isaiah 66 and Proverbs 22 and Proverbs 71, God speaks of himself as a midwife attending a birth. Luke chapter 13 as a woman working leaven into bread. And Luke chapter 15 as a woman seeking a lost coin. Deuteronomy chapter 32, God sees or talks of himself as a mother eagle who spreads his wings to protect her young. Matthew 23 as a hen. Hosea chapter 13 as a mother bear. God is not our mother, God is our father, but God has made us in his image, and in his image he created us male and female, and male and female are the image of one God. Deuteronomy 32 says, "You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth." Both masculine and feminine attributes of God are in this one single verse. The rock who fathered you and the God who gave you birth. In Job 38:29, it says, "Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens?" The masculine fatherly aspect of God is an important aspect. We need a protector. We need someone whom we can call out to and know that he will provide for us as we need. We know that God will protect us. We have assurance that he has a plan for us and a plan that he will sacrifice himself to make happen. He loves his children. He'll make sure that his children are protected, provided for, and saved for our own from our own destruction. But we need a God also who is compassionate and sacrificial like only a mother can be. We need to be comforted. Life is not easy. And when life gives us our bruises and our scrapes, we need a mother to put on a Band-Aid. And I don't know about you, but I needed a Band-Aid many times when I didn't actually need a Band-Aid. God is a God of Band-Aids. He's a God of love and a God of compassion. And he is the God that looks over you, watches over you, and protects you like a goose protects her young. God is the one who gave birth to you. And even in the pain and the frustration of rearing you, loves you unconditionally. There is not one thing you can do to step out of God's love, because God loves you and you are his child. Because God loves you like a mother loves her children. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love. And as we think of you as Father, we celebrate that. But Lord, let us not forget that all the qualities that are feminine are also wrapped up in you. That all the things that makes moms what they are, from the labor and delivery, through the sacrifices, through the unconditional love, through the care through our years and the years even as we leave home, that same image, that same drive, the drive as a mother comes from your divine heart. We thank you that you are our God, not defined by gender, but that in all of humanity we can see the complete image of who you are. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name.